मुकं करोति वाचालं भंगुं लंघयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। I salute Krishna, the embodiment of supreme bliss, through whose grace the lame scale mountains and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna be the guide of our lives. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace. Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 13. Discrimination between the matter and the spirit. In this section of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna described the Shankha philosophy, where Prakriti and Purusha have been explained. According to Shankha philosophy, Purusha is unattached. Prakriti functions. This whole universe, this world, is the modification of Prakriti, nature. Liberation means separation from Prakriti and Purusha. Prakriti from Purusha. If you can separate yourself from your nature, that means you are free. Purusha, the individual soul, is the enjoyer. And Prakriti, nature, gives and supplies all enjoyments, good and bad. Your suffering is given by Prakriti. Your happiness is also is given by Prakriti. Prakriti is supply. Everything to Purusha. What is the purpose? Prakriti wants that the Purusha should enjoy his nature. And when you are fed up, give up enjoyment, be free. Disconnect yourself from your nature. So this enjoyment invariably will lead you to liberation. That is their philosophy. Enjoyment will lead you to liberation. When you are disgusted with enjoyment, then you will seek freedom. Prakriti plays through her gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. Sattva brings happiness, rajas brings misery, tamas brings delusion. These three feelings we experience in our day-to-day life. Sometimes we are happy, sometimes we are unhappy, sometimes we are deluded. When the Purusha transcends the gunas, he does not suffer from misery. He does not enjoy the world too. The birth of the Purusha is also depends upon his association with the gunas. If your mind is predominantly sattva, you will get divine birth. You will be born as a god. If your mind is full of rajas, you will be born as a human being. If your mind is full of tamas, you will be born in the animal kingdom. Swami, can a human being go back to animal kingdom again? That is the question. The Western people do not believe it. They believe the theory of evolution according to Darwin. When a person evolves as a human being, he cannot go back again to the animal kingdom. But the Shankara philosophers say, yes, the seed is the cause of the birth. If a human being can be born as a god, why not as an animal? But Swami, why? Why should I go? According to theory of evolution, we shall go forward. Sometimes we see some human beings, though they look like human beings, but truly they are worse than animals. They have jealousy like snake. They have inertia like pigs, like some kind of buffaloes. They have tremendous inertia. Among the animals also, there are sattvic animals, rajasic animals, tamasic animals. It is true, the cows are very sattvic. The deers are very rajasic. Hippopotamus, whereas they are tamasic. They lie down. Hippopotamus, I saw in this. They want good food. Among human beings also, you will find some are very active, some are sattvic, some are tamasic. I knew a person, sometimes he used to sleep 17 hours a day. 17 hours! What will you call him? I read in the story of Ramayana, Ravana's second brother was Kumbhakarna. He used to sleep 6 months at a time. And after 6 months, he would get up and he would eat the animals of one forest. And again, he would go to sleep. He wanted a boon from Brahma, that I want to sleep. An embodiment of tamas. Ravana is an embodiment of rajas. And Vibhishana is the embodiment of Sattva. So he recognized Rama. These three brothers represent three gunas. You see, when you read the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, the epics of the Hindus, they are very symbolic. I shall not discuss these things, but anyhow, human birth depends upon your own karma. Purusha is carried by Prakriti, because Purusha has no body, which is bodiless. I am talking with the soul. This body is the vehicle, this body is the boat, which is carrying your Purusha, indwelling self. If this body moves fast, the Purusha moves fast. It is just, you are just riding your own car. The moment you sit in your car, whatever speed you will give, your body will go in that same speed. If your car is a good car, it will not give you trouble. But if your car is a bad one, it will give you trouble. Similarly, your health body is a good body. It will not give you any trouble. Who makes the body good and bad? You. Through your own karma, you build your body. Purusha has no independence because it is carried by the Prakriti. Similarly, when you sit in the car, the car's speed is your speed. You have no independence. But the moment you get down from the car, you separate yourself from the car, you are on your own feet. You have your own speed. So what the Sangha philosophers say, just separate yourself from Prakriti. Be independent. Dependence brings misery. Independence brings happiness. Chop off, cut off connection, bring divorce with Prakriti. That means you are free. You are liberated. Now how to get rid of this how to get this separation? Where to file this divorce? You will have to know Paramatma, the Supreme Self. You see, inside you, both are there. Your lower self and higher self. This lower self gradually becomes one with higher self through spiritual disciplines, through discrimination. As we read in the Mundaka Upanishad, Dva Suparna Sajuja Sakaya Samanam Vriksham Parishat Swajati Tayurainam Sadhu Pippalamati Vannanashnana Vichakushiti. In a tree there are two birds. One is the lower bird, another is the higher bird. Both have the same feature, same formation, same plumage, same wings. But the upper bird is very majestic, motionless, calm, quiet, serene. The lower bird is restless, jumping around, eating fruits, sometimes sweet, sometimes bitter. When it eats sweet fruit, it becomes happy. When it eats bitter fruit, it becomes miserable. This is the condition of the Jivatma, you and me, we are those individual souls. The moment we jump up and become one with that higher bird, later on we see that we are mere shadows of that higher bird. That higher bird is the real bird. At that time, we experience oneness with that higher bird and get liberation. So I told you in brief what Krishna is going to say in these verses of the Bhagavad Gita. Verse 17. Avibhaktam cha bhuteshu vibhaktam eva cha sthitam bhuta bhartri cha taj giyam grosishnu prabha vishnu cha. It is indivisible, and yet it is as it were divided among beings. That knowledge, that knowable Brahman, is the sustainer of all beings and also their devourer and generator. Always remember, the name of this chapter is Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Vibhaga, Yoga. Kshetra means field, Kshetrajna means the knower of the field, Vibhaga, discrimination, Yoga. In this chapter, Krishna taught Arjuna how to separate between the Purusha and Prakriti, how to separate Brahman from Maya. If you know it, if you know the technique, you can do it by yourself. That Krishna said. Look, Arjuna, you see all these individual beings, innumerable, millions, billions, objects. Each one is separate, different species. But among these varieties, there is unity. Example, Bhumabhat, Shankara says, Bhumabhat, like a space. Space is indivisible. But space entered inside you, inside me, inside this room, inside the temple, inside centuries, inside the United States, inside the whole world. Same space pervades everything. But we limit that space with our name and form. Similarly, this all-pervading consciousness is limited by, is divided by individual beings. It is pervaded in individual beings. Divided is not the correct word. Pervaded. And that Kshetrajna, that God, is Bhuta Bhortrija. He is the sustainer, creator, preserver, destroyer. You see, Christian people do not like to believe that God is a destroyer. They will accept God is a creator, God is a preserver, but they don't like to believe that God is a destroyer. That is, with that they blame on Satan, you see. But Vedanta says, only one force is there. The force which creates, the same force destroys. If this hand can create something and this hand can destroy the same thing. Sri Ramakrishna's vision, when he was at Dakshineshwar under Panchavati tree, he saw a woman came out from the Ganges, gave birth to a baby, and after some time he just took the baby inside herself absorbed that baby within herself. Sri Ramakrishna immediately realized that same Shakti creates, same Shakti preserves, same Shakti destroys. Shakti is always one. Shakti cannot be two. Let me give another example. In the ocean, we find this wave creates some kind of foam, and that foam again is absorbed in the ocean. The foam is created by the ocean, the foam floats in the ocean, again this same float is absorbed in the ocean. Similarly, this whole creation, the cosmos, has been created from God, is sustained by God, and again it dissolves into God. Again it comes back. That is we, you see, this Vedantic theory of creation, which is constantly rotating. That is called Jagat, which comes from Gam, verb, Gatshati, which is constantly moving. You are constantly moving. Your Shakti, your power, which is within, is constantly functioning. Sri Ramakrishna one day said to his disciples, as a snake, God, as a snake bites a man, same God as a doctor cures the snake bite. Everything is the play of God. God gave the brain to create atom bomb. Now God is trying to give brain how to counteract atom bomb. It is fun. Of course, we feel bad, you know, taxpayers' money is going to for this kind of an expensive experiment. Billions of dollars play is going on, which is true. We are playing constantly. Next verse. Yotisham opitat jyotihi tamasa paramuchyate jnanam geyam jnana gamyam hridi sarvaisya vishthitam. The light, even of lights, it is said to be beyond darkness. As knowledge, the objects of knowledge and the goal of knowledge, it is set firm in the hearts of all. Jyoti Shamopi Jyoti, he is the light of light. What does it mean? He is the light of light. Brahman is the light of light. There is a question was raised in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Kim Jyoti? What is the light? Surya Jyoti, the light of the sun. With the help of the light of the sun, we function. Again, the student asks, when there is no light, there is no sun, we work through the light of the moon. When there is no sun, no moon, the light of the stars. When there is no sun, no moon, no stars, we function through the light of the fire. When there is no sun, no moon, no stars, no fire, we function through the light of the sound. Does sound have any light? It has. Suppose you are my neighbor. At night you are shouting, help, help, help. Hearing that sound, I can reach you. Remember, there is no sun, no moon, no star, no fire, no electricity. That is fire. Hearing this sound, I can just follow your home. This motion, this movement can come through the sound. Where there is no sun, no moon, no star, no fire, no sound, where is the light? Atma Jyoti, the light of the self, the Atman. That light is self-luminous. That light does not depend on any light. It is not borrowed light. That light exists always and ever. just like the brilliance of a gem. The Upanishads mystically, some verses of the Upanishads are very mystical. Na tatra surjo bhati na chandra tarakam nema vidyuto bhanti kuto ayam agni tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tesya bhasa sarvam idam vibhati. That the sun shines not, not the moon, not the stars. What to speak of this mortal fire? When it shines, everything shines after him. When he shines, everything shines after him. That is called Atma Jyoti. Shema Himni. It depends upon itself. It is self-luminous. The sun, the moon borrow light from the Atman, so they are luminous. That light is within all human beings. And we are all trying to find out that light. Without that light, without that consciousness, we cannot function. Arjuna may think, well, as I understand Krishna, you are talking about the light. The sun is also jada, matter, moon, matter. So perhaps this light of the Brahman is also matter. No. Tamaso parastha. There is a mantra in the Shetashatru Upanishad. The sage expressed his experience. I have seen that effulgent one who is beyond darkness, knowing him alone one can transcend death. There is no other way. He is beyond darkness. He transcends everything. He is not matter. Swamiji one just said, you people say, I have experience, I have experience, I have experience, I have seen, I have the vision, I have this dream. Those things are passing. They are not, I should not say they are not real, they are very temporary glimpses. Swamiji said, do you see that self-luminous self, the Atman within your heart all the time? That is real experience. Do you see Swayam Jyoti Atma, that self-luminous Atman, all the time within your heart? That is real experience. Do you know what does it mean? That means your whole being is saturated with God consciousness. No Maya can come near you. No desire can function in your mind. You are one with God consciousness. That is our goal. Gyanam, Gyayam, Gyana Gaima, Riddhi Sarvaisya Vidibhishthitam. That Brahman, he is knowledge. He is the knowable. He is the knower. And he dwells in every heart. He is not very far. He is the nearest of the nearest. Next verse. Iti gyam tatha gyanam gyam. Iti kshetram tatha gyanam gyam choktam samasatah madhvakta itad vijnaya madhbhava ayo upapadyati. Thus briefly have been set forth the field and also knowledge and the object of knowledge. My devotee who understands this becomes worthy of my state. Krishna is now summing up what is said to Arjuna. Iti kshetram, this is the field, this body. I already explained to you what is this body. Tatha jnanam, I explain to you what is knowledge, the limbs of knowledge. 20 disciplines of 20 signs of knowledge Krishna described already. Gyam, and also I told you the thing which is to be known, that Brahman. All I have told you in brief. Madhvakta etad vijnaya, my devotee, knowing this, madhbhavaya upapaddati, becomes one with my myself, becomes one with my state. Madhvakta, who is God's devotee? That also Krishna explained in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. I shall not tell you again. Dear Krishna says, he is my favorite, he is my favorite, he is my favorite. I sometimes say to the devotees, please read those verses from chapter 12, 13 to 19. Chapter 12, 13 to 19. These seven verses, please read again and again and check yourself. Do I have those things? Do I have those qualifications of a real devotee? If you have, you are favorite to God. Krishna says, Sachame Priya, he is dear to me, he is dear to me, he is dear to me. He said that again and again. Itad vigya mad bhavaya, bhavaya, God's state. You see, whatever you think that you will be, if you think of God, you will be God. If you think of Satan, you will be a Satan. If you think of devil, hobgoblin, you will be devil and hobgoblin. I went to a Kansas City after lecture I got questions. Guru Swami, there are too much devil and Satan, what shall I do? I said, kill them. There is no harm to kill the devil and Satan. You will be free. Don't love them. Kill them. How? That you find yourself. A machine gun, sword, dagger cannot cut the Satan and devil. Asanga shastrina dhirhina chitta. Krishna will tell us in the 15th chapter, the greatest weapon one can have in human life. Do you know what is that? Non-attachment. If you do not think about the devil does not exist in you. You make the devil prominent by thinking. It is true. You see, your enemy wants to make you mad. If you do not become mad, that enemy will be baffled. You see, you will think, this person is not caring for me. What shall I do? What shall I do? Same thing. Lust, anger, jealousy, these subtle enemies are trying to attack you. If you do not pay attention to them, they will be very much upset. I am trying to create stimulus inside this fellow and this fellow does not pay any attention to me. Why should I stay here? I better quit. You will give a notice. Well, I am going to quit. Madhavaya, God's. He becomes worthy of my state. My state means ultimate liberation. One who understands the field, knowledge and the object of knowledge knows the whole doctrine of the Vedas and the Gita. Now, Krishna is going to explain Prakriti again. As I told you in the very beginning about Shankara philosophy. Prakritim purusham chaiva vidhi anadi ubhavapi. Vikaraṃśca gunāṃścaiva viddhi prakriti sambhavān. Know that prakriti and purusha are both without beginning. And know, too, that all forms and gunas are born of prakriti. The two prakritis of the Lord, the superior and the inferior, have been described in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. It has also been said that all created beings are born of them. Now, that subject is further elucidated here. Prakriti is without beginning, so is Purusha. Again, let me explain to you. This is Prakriti. It has seven Prakriti Vikriti. Prakriti means who creates. Who creates, that is Prakriti. The nature which creates. That Prakriti first creates seven things. And those seven things are created as well as they have power to create. Their intelligence, cosmic intelligence, ego, and five subtle elements. This, yes. Yes. Seven. Five subtle elements, buddhi, cosmic intelligence, and aham tattva, ego. These seven things are created as well as they have power to create. What do they create? 16 vikritis, 16 modifications. They are five organs of knowledge, five organs of action, mind, and five gross elements. These 16 modifications, 16 plus 7, 23, plus prakriti, 24. These are the 24 principles according to Shankara philosophy. Already I explained. They are prakriti sambhavan. All these things are created from prakriti, and prakriti is anadi. Now, do you know what is the problem? If you accept that prakriti is anadi, beginningless, that means it is ananta, endless. The thing which has without no beginning, that means that thing it has no end. So prakriti is infinite. Maya is beginningless and endless. If you accept that, what will happen? You will be in deep trouble. There will be no liberation. Because you will be recycled again and again into the Maya. Vedanta says, Shankara says, oh no, I have a power to liberate the soul. How? Well, through discrimination and renunciation, when Purusha will separate itself from Prakriti, then Prakriti will be there eternally, Purusha will be separated, Purusha will never be bound. Vedanta says, there cannot be two infinites. Infinite is always one. So what is the position of our Vedanta? Vedanta says, Prakriti is prabhavakare anadi. It is anadi, beginningless and endless, but like the ocean. It rises, again it subsides. It rises, again it subsides. Just like wave. It continuously is moving. It is the Shakti of Brahman. As Brahman is real, so is Shakti. But Shakti sometimes does not create. So what is the exact position of Vedanta about this individual soul? Vedanta says, this Purusha, this Maya, is beginningless, no doubt. But it has an end for an individual soul. When a person becomes luminous, is enlightened, his agyan, his ignorance, his maya go away, vanishes from him. Gyane shanto, that is their exact word. Shanto means it is limited by knowledge. It has an end by the knowledge of Brahman. The moment a person becomes illumined, attains the knowledge of Brahman, for him there is no maya. That is the position of Vedanta. He becomes luminous, he becomes free. But that Maya doesn't mean I destroyed Maya through my knowledge of Brahman, but as you could not make it. So Maya is for you, but not for me. Anyhow, that is, I told you what is there. Because if we accept that Prakriti is anadi and ananta, endless, then this question of bondage and liberation, guru and the scripture, all will be meaningless. Why should I go to a teacher? Why should I read the scripture? Why should I practice meditation? Why should I try for liberation if I be always eternally into the prakriti? Do you understand? all these things will be meaningless, useless. So Vedanta believes that these are all intricate things, you see. It is beginningless, but it has an end for an individual person. Next verse. Karya karana kortritte hetu prakriti ruchati purusha sukha dukkhanam bhaktritte hetu ruchati. The Supreme Spirit in the body is said to be the one who is the witness and his approver, the supporter and the enjoyer, and who is the sovereign Lord and the highest self. Oh no, I read the wrong one. Prakriti is said to be the cause of the generation of the body and the organs, and Purusha is said to be the cause of the experience of pleasure and pain. The numbers are different. My book number and this English book numbers are different. Body is the effect. 10 sense organs, mind, intellect, and memory are the instruments. Whatever functions are done through the body and mind originate from Prakriti. Happiness and misery are superimposed on the Purusha. As fire makes an iron rod, red hot iron, the fire actually is superimposed on the iron. Similarly, Prakriti, the function of Prakriti, nature, is superimposed on the self. But truly speaking, the self is free from action. Vedanta gives a very good example. Here is a crystal and here is red hibiscus. Due to the vicinity of the red hibiscus, this crystal is red. You bring a blue flower, it becomes blue. Bring a pink flower, it will be pink. Yellow flower, it will be yellow. But the crystal is always colorless. That is you, your Atman. The moment you disconnect yourself from Prakriti, from nature, you are colorless. You are free from the gunas. Color means gunas. Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunte. Next verse. Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunte Prakriti Jan Gunan Karanam Gunasangoisya Sadasa Joni Janmasu. Purusha, embodied in Prakriti, experiences the gunas born of Prakriti. It is attachment to these gunas that is the cause of his birth in good and evil wombs. Purusho prakritistohi bhunti prakritijan gunan. Purusha, the self, the indwelling self, is the enjoyer, according to Shankar philosophers. But Vedantic, according to Vedanta, jiva, individual soul, is the doer and enjoyer, not the Atman. Atman is not an enjoyer, not a doer. Prakriti, nature, loves to play. Try to visualize this Purusha and Prakriti, a scene of a drama comes to my mind, which has been narrated in Natako Deepa of Panchadoshi. Here is a dancing girl. She made her makeup with beautiful costume, with beautiful makeup and a wig, and she is dancing. And all of a sudden came a gusty wind, and which blew away her wig. And then came rain. It is there, it is in that scripture, Panchadoshi. Came rain, all her makeup, mascara, and all these things, you know, are all melted, and her face, all over the face, her cloth, you know, all this expensive costume are soaked in water and dust. At that time, she feels so bad. She doesn't like to dance anymore on the stage. She thinks that, you see, my real form has been seen by this audience. So for long I was, you know, charming them and showing my charm, you know, I was deluding them. But now I cannot stand here, I cannot stand before them. So she quits the stage. The Shankara philosopher, the Vedanta philosopher, say, similarly, a Prakriti is constantly dancing in front of you. If you see, you know, through your mental eye, what is in that body, what is in that, you know, if you visualize that way, that moment you will get tremendous dispassion. Immediately Prakriti will say goodbye to you. Well, I cannot show my tricks anymore to you. It is right time for me to quit. That he said. Human birth depends upon your attachment. If you are attached to the Shatta Guna, you will get noble births, higher realms. You might be born as a god, as I told you. If you have attachment for the Rajas activity, you will be born as a human being. If you are attached to the Tamogunas, you know, 17 hours sleep, unthinking. I remember once a devotee said, Swami, I cannot come to attend your Sunday lecture. I said, why? Well, I get up at 10:30. I do not know. If they would be with Sri Ramakrishna, what would happen? Sri Ramakrishna would pour water on his head in the morning. One jug full of water on his head, or bucket full of water. Have you come here to sleep? He did that, you know. He poured water to his wife's bed through the door sill. If there is another woman, you know, she would file divorce against Ramakrishna. He did to Swami Adbhutananda, Latu Maharaj. Well, you see, whole day he served the master. In the evening, he fell asleep. In the evening, seeing his disciple in, you know, sleeping, Sri Ramakrishna said, my goodness, this is the time for meditation. In the evening, you have come here to sleep. I don't need your service anymore. You get out from this place. Master, please forgive me. I shall never do it again. No. I don't need your service. You get out. Get away from this place. Then Swamiji, I think, was a mediator and, you know, and solved the problem. And Latu Maharaj wrote in his memoir, 3 months he fought to overcome sleep at night. And all through his life he never slept at night. My guru will throw me out. He never slept at night all through his life. Just see, it is not easy to become a disciple of Sri Ramakrishna. He will throw us out. The other day I was telling, you know, when Sri Ramakrishna would meditate, he would see that a person, a Bhairav, a guardian angel, would sit in front of him with a trident in hand and say, if you think any thought of the world, I shall pierce you. So Sri Ramakrishna, you know. And one day Rani Rashmani was meditating and she was thinking about a lawsuit. Sri Ramakrishna immediately slapped on her face. So I was thinking how wonderful it would be if we would meditate with Sri Ramakrishna. We could get some slaps, no doubt. But at least we would feel good that somebody is watching us, you know. A man desires first. First he desires something, then he that desire leads him to perform a particular action. Action comes first from desire. Desire first, then action. So human birth depends upon your desire. What type of desire you have? Suppose you have terrible anger or lust, you will have to take those bodies where you can perform those things in a better way. It is true. Swamiji says the pig body, if the pig has more power of, thousand times more lust than human body. Greediness, greed in dog's body, wolf's body is thousand times more than human body. You see, human beings cannot compete with these animals about satisfying lust and satisfying greed. So if a person has that impulse, excessive, he will find out some bodies where he can fulfill that desire. That is the way Vedanta ascertains next birth. It is your thought, it is your desire, which will guide you. Yoni manye prapadyante shariratvaya dehina sthanu manye anusangyanti yatha karma yatha shrutam. In the Katha Upanishad, there is a mantra. The dehi, the soul, takes a body according to his karma, according to his desire. Let me give another example. A Purusha and Prakriti are mixed up. A Prakriti overwhelms the Purusha and forces him to do what Prakriti, nature, wants Purusha to do. Example, suppose here is a person who is possessed by a ghost or a spirit, and that spirit overwhelms so much that person has no knowledge of his own self. He thinks that he is a ghost. At that time, if you ridicule or scold that man does not react because he has no sense of his own self. But if you scold or reprimand the ghost, that ghost will make a face on you, will be angry with you. Possessing that body, that ghost will react. I am leaving this body, who are you to tell me? A Purusha sometimes is subdued by Prakriti, is slave to the Prakriti. And whatever Prakriti says, it does. It is called Tadatma Abhiman, and it becomes unified ego. What we are supposed to do? You Prakriti, nature, be my slave. I am the master of myself. In this way, you will have to push your nature, and you must experience about your own self. Otherwise, you will be a slave. Stand up, sit down, sit down. I know a man, he was so much afraid of his wife. Whatever the wife says, he would. Similarly, there are some women also, they have, the man controls that way. That way we find Sri Ramakrishna's marriage, mutual love, mutual respect, and freedom. Sri Ramakrishna never made his wife his slave. Holy Mother never possessed Sri Ramakrishna and made him slave. Each should grow in his own way, in her own way. Be free. Mutual love, mutual respect, and grow. I shall tell you an interesting story. During the time Swami Premananda told this story to the monks in the monastery, during the time of coronation of Ramachandra, Hanuman, the great devotee, was the caretaker of the storeroom. whenever people would ask something, the Hanuman monkey would make a face. Hup! You cannot get. So Ramachandra understood that Hanuman was very much proud. So he wanted to break his ego. He said, Hanuman, you see, I have a devotee in a far away in an island. You will have to take this invitation letter to him. Only you can do it, because you have the power to jump from one place to another. Hanuman obeyed the order, took the invitation letter and went to the yogi in an island, and he was amazed seeing that yogi. His upper body was a pig and lower body is luminous, just like divine. So Hanuman said, gave that letter to the yogi and said to him, you know, I am very curious to know about your form. I saw your half is pig body and half is human body. How come? Then the yogi said, you see, in my previous life I was a king. And I gave a lot of charity. I did a lot of charity. I gave so many things to the people. For that reason, I got that luminous divine body. And when I gave something, I made face. I scolded people. I gave so much pain, trouble, you know. I hurt so many people. For that reason, this upper form is a pig body. So Hanuman gave that thing to him. Then the yogi said, hey, give this fruit and give to Ram. So Hanuman came back and found that the yogi was in front of Ram. Then Hanuman said, Lord, you said that if any person wants to see you, that person will have to come through me. But this yogi has come without, you know, not through me. Rama said, O Hanuman, it is you who brought him through the fruit. He came in a subtle body with the fruit. So he came and saw me. In this way, Hanuman got a great lesson, because he was making face to the people. He was hurting people because he was the storekeeper, you see. So what Swami Premananda said to the monks, a devotees bring things to us, and devotees things we return to the devotees, but don't hurt anybody, don't make any face. You see, these direct disciples who teach in a very beautiful way through stories. So, Purusha Prakriti Stho Hi Bhunti Prakriti Jan Gunan. Purusha, living in Prakriti, enjoys the qualities of Prakriti. And he is born according to his attachment to the gunas. So, our goal is to transcend the gunas so that we can attain freedom forever. If you transcend the gunas, there is no more rebirth for you. All right, you can ask me questions. Same, maya, prakriti, purdhana, Ajnana, Avidya, these are all synonymous terms. Ignorance. Vedanta generally uses the word Maya. Shankas use the word Prakriti, Pradhana. Vedanta also uses the word Ajnana. When Vedanta says Ajnana, means individual ignorance. When Vedanta says Maya, means cosmic ignorance. That is the way Vedanta differentiates.